Hello, my dear listeners, and welcome back to my podcast, Moldovan Abroad. My guest today is my friend and my yoga teacher, Catherine. We met about 7 years ago in London. We were working for the same company at the time. She's still working for that company. Meanwhile, I had other plans with my career. But in this podcast or in this episode, you will find out where is Catherine from, what were her studies, how did she come to the UK, what were her jobs before that, and you'll actually hear interesting stories about her experience in a band as well. And it wasn't any band, it was an all-girls death metal band. How cool is that? After that, we talked about Catherine's interest into martial arts. I might have brought up Kung Fu Panda because that's all I know about Kung Fu. But Catherine has been doing all sorts of martial arts, and she's been talking about that and about a charity as well, which is a project for the future, and it will be aimed at people who can't afford to do martial arts and for maybe elderly people. So we talked a little about benefit of doing martial arts at any stage, any age, any kind of physical preparation. And then we went on to talk a lot about yoga, which is one of the things that I really love, because since I've been doing yoga with Catherine, everything improved. And you know, it's a journey and a process, and you keep learning and improving, and it's amazing. So we talked a lot about yoga. If you're interested in that, I'm sure you'll love it. And apart from that, as any friend would do, we talked about wine, about our countries, about our languages, and all sort of other stuff. So I really hope you'll enjoy this. Hi, Catherine, and welcome to my podcast.
Hello, Daniela. Very nice to be here. Very happy. Very honored.
Me too. I'm so happy. We have been friends for many years now, and I'll just start by saying quickly the story of how we met. So we were working for the same company, and we had a meeting with people doing similar roles in different projects, and we were working on different projects. We didn't know each other before, and we went to that meeting room that was quite small, and it didn't have enough chairs. So I just went closer to the window, and somehow I was close to you, and after a while you just gave me your seat without even knowing me. You just offered me your seat, and I found it the kindest thing. That like, it was so cute and kind and nice of you, and we just like stayed in touch after that, and it's been like the best friendship that we could have. I mean, I miss those times when we were going to restaurants in London together. You know all the good restaurants in London.
you know too. Oh, I miss that time too, huh? It was very good when we were going to lots of good restaurants, having afternoon tea, do you remember?
Oh my God, that was so nice. That was so nice. Oh, I miss those days. Hopefully one day you'll go back to repeating that.
Yeah, definitely.
So Catherine, I'll just, I'll ask you to do a bit of introduction about yourself. Tell me where you're from, a little bit of your background. Before moving to the UK, whatever you would like to share with us.
So I'm from Brazil, and I was in Brazil working like in corporate jobs, and I just wanted to get a better position. So I decided to come to UK to learn English. And then I came to this school, which I met my teacher, which became my husband. And then... Yeah, married my teacher. Anyway, I learned English, but not very good, as you can hear. My accent and my mistakes are very, very bad. Anyway, and then this was 2009. And then since then, I've been living in UK. And then I came to UK. It was very hard in the beginning because I left everything in Brazil, left my career that I thought that I wanted to continue doing it at that time, you know, and then start from scratch when I was already 31 years old. I was quite hard, but so stayed for a very long time without a job, being supported by my very, very young husband that was in his first job because he's quite younger than me. And then I found a job in this company, which I met Danielle, and I started there. And then I started going up a little bit in the company. And now I work in this company. I'm quality manager in this company. It's a good job. But since then, I was living here.
Yes, I just wanted to comment a little bit because my language skills are very similar to yours. And all these funny misunderstandings that I have in English when talking to my boyfriend or in various situations, you recognize yourself sometimes in them because sometimes like the words that we use in direct translation from our own languages, they just like come up into funny situations. And I love the fact that you just find yourself in all those kind of situation as well.
It is really funny. All the time you post something like that, like you called your toe fingers.
Yeah.
Because in Brazil, in Portuguese, it's feet fingers. I think because we come from Latin language and then the things are very, very similar. And also, and so the mistakes probably will be similar because it's the direct translation from our own language. But it's so funny. All the time you post those things, I identify myself so much.
So yeah, we're on the same boat on this one. As far as I remember, didn't you do like two bachelor degrees or something like that? Or two university degrees?
Oh, yeah. That's a very long time ago. Yes. When I went to university, I graduated in business. And when I finished it, I decided to take a post-graduation, which is like a master's in here, and language, because I always liked so much like Portuguese grammar and stuff when I was on high school. I spoke to people from my university, and where I had a very good relationship with the supervisor of that course, the business course, and as we had Portuguese in the course and grammar and everything, I asked the teacher if I could do a master in language, like in literature. And she said that if I think I was okay, she saw my grades from high school in literature and stuff like that. And I end up doing master's degree in semiotic, which the master's degree actually was a language and semiotic. And but I took the semiotic area and I did my essays about semiotic part of literature. And but in the middle of my master's, I felt that I was a bit behind because all the other people in there was like had done literature as their first degree. So I decided in the middle, like when I was a year after in the middle of my master's, I decided to do literature as well. So I graduated in literature. In Brazil, when you graduate in literature, it doesn't call literature. It calls, like if you are doing like a teaching degree in pedagogy. Portuguese language.
Like in Romanian, we say pedagogic?
In Portuguese, it's pedagogia. But pedagogia is to teach like youngers. Like I did licenciatura, it calls in Portuguese. So I did literature and licenciatura. Licenciatura in Portuguese means that you can teach. I can teach grammar, I can teach literature, and I can teach writing on Brazilian schools. Mm-hmm. And also I can teach English because we have a degree in English teaching as well when you do that. But funny enough, my English was really poor and I could teach English if I want on schools, which is terrible. Many, many Brazilian English teachers on schools can't teach English properly because they can't speak English properly, but it's how the system works in there. So I could teach English as well. And I taught a little bit. I tried to be a teacher in the beginning. And it didn't agree with me teaching. I always thought that I could be a good teacher, but actually literature, language teacher is not for me. I don't have much patience to explain those things. It is funny because now I'm teaching and that didn't work for me at that time. I gave up completely. And then after I finished the degree in literature, I end up working in business again. Like, I completely left the literature side of my profession, all my the things that I was aiming, thinking to do in the future. I completely left it aside and I went to work in corporate jobs. But during my degrees, a funny story, I don't know if you know that. During my degrees, this 2 degrees, which was in about like 7 years in a row, I worked in a tattoo shop and I was body piercer. So I used to pierce in the body.
Wow.
yeah.
I love that about you because I know you for quite a few years, but every time I just find out something new about you. For example, a few days ago when we were chatting, you just told me that you're part of a group. Was it like, how do you call the genre? Like hard rock, metallica rock?
Death metal.
Death metal. Here you go.
And in the same time as I worked in this tattoo shop, I play lead guitar, not solo guitar, lead guitar. And yeah, it was a band that was only girls. We were 5. And we played many, many places. It was really, really nice. We don't have any record or anything. We have one song recorded, I think, but I think it was lost from analogic to digital stuff because we have a tape. Even though it was like 2003, 2004, it was still like recording on tape. And we have many like concert that was actually filmed, but also the VHR.
Yeah, I remember those tapes.
It's all gone. So I can't. So I don't have any record like of a concert that we played. But it was really cool. It was very fun. Like as this genre, we don't have many girls. So we used to be like challenged by the guys. Oh, you really like this song? Why are you playing it? These kind of things. Like, also. Many people used to think that was quite cool because we were only girls playing this genre, which is quite aggressive for girls, but was really cool. I love metal. Even today, I still listen to metal music. So
I love that you challenge stereotypes and that you just went for it. I love it. I admire this so much. And I hope maybe one day you can do a reunion.
Yeah, we always talk about this, me and the girls. Maybe one day when I go to Brazil, we can play. We changed a lot, personality. Now, because at that time we started, we were uni. And like now, even some of the girls are... One of them are doctor, the other, like everybody is different now. So, but still, some of the girls are still singing, still playing. So yeah, maybe we can meet one day and do a little reunion, but it would be funny more than good. I think it would be more fun than.
For the sake of the memories and maybe, you know, just enjoying yourself and doing that would be really, really cool. The fact that you studied literature as well, you can tell because you're so into books, you're reading so much. I always admire that about you as well. And I'll quickly tell our audience as well about when I ruined Anna Karenina for you.
I didn't know, and I never watched anything or videos, anything. I know it's big in our country, I guess, because it's like a very well-known story. But
it's basically like Romeo and Juliet. Everyone knows what happens, right? So it's the same with us for Anna Karenina. Like everyone, even if you didn't read it, you can. But I need to formally apologize.
It didn't make it any less enjoyable. Don't worry. It didn't make it any less enjoyable. It was a great book. So I'm very happy I read it. It's a funny thing because in Brazil, we focus a lot in Portuguese literature, Brazilian literature, English literature. Even some like Greek literature or other countries, but I didn't read any Russian literature during my degree, and I got to know Russian literature more after my degree. But I really like it's very dramatic, but it's really good also like society wise knowledge. It's very good. I like the big books have that feeling that I can't explain like. When I am in the story, I'm a very empath. I'm empath as a person, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel everything. If I'm watching a film, doesn't matter how silly the film is, I put myself in the place of the person.
Yeah.
And so I like long films because I'm there, I'm living that story. I don't want that story to finish. And when the story finishes, my mind just keeps like, what happened after?
Yeah.
You know, what happened? Did they got together? Did they broke up? You know, this kind of things, you know. Oh, that business, was it good? No, my mind just gets like that. So when the book is very big, I like it because I'm so into it and it's going to take a long time to finish. When the book is short, I get so into it and then I want to know what happened after, you know.
Oh my God, it's so funny you say that because I thought I'm weird in a way because one, if there's a movie without ending, I just get annoyed because I don't know what's happening. And I'm thinking, no, you can't end here. I need to know what's happening next.
I know.
And then second is that like sometimes we watch movies with Mark and sometimes I just can't watch a certain movie because I know I'll get too emotionally involved. And it's just like, literally, I don't have the energy for that because I know that I'm getting so involved in there with all my emotions. So I perfectly understand you.
Yeah, I've done this. And do you know what I've done now? I've started like selecting more the films I watch because it drains me. If it's like emotionally drain, it drains me so much. So, and like, I don't watch any terror films anymore. I used to only watch terror films when I was young. Especially when I was in death metal, I was like, oh my God, how much gore the film, better it was. But nowadays, it stays with me. I have like countless nightmares and I don't know why. And I just like keep thinking about the films, you know. Also for dramas, like, oh my God, if the person has a disease, I immediately think I have the same disease, you know?
Yeah.
Oh my God, what's happening to me for sure?
I know what you mean. Oh my God, I know what you mean. At least
incredible.
Like, I'm glad that I'm not the only one. You understand me. We can share the same feelings.
Definitely I do. I just get so much into it. So I'm selecting much more the things to watch and trying to keep like more like a positive mind and watching things that are more positive. Then doesn't drag you down with them. I know then this is the things that sell more, but
yeah. Talking about positive things, you now teach yoga and everything that comes with it and all the, you know, the nice way of thinking and breathing. So we'll go to that later for sure. But let's start with the martial arts, because since I met you, you first got into martial arts. So do you want to tell me why did you go into those classes? What type of martial arts you're doing? And then we'll continue talking about martial arts as we go.
Okay. So I started practicing martial arts in Brazil.
I didn't know that. I thought you started
in Brazil.
Cool.
No. I did some in Brazil. Before I come to this country, I was going to this gym. And the guy that used to run the gym, I don't remember his name. He was like a champion of, I don't know if it used to be MMA at that time or if it was another name. I'm trying to remember. But he used to run this gym. And he had kickboxing and jiu-jitsu there. So because it was his two fights, like the one standing and one on the floor. So his kickboxing, at the time it was called kickboxing, and I started doing it. I did it for nearly 2 years there. And I did some jiu-jitsu for a while. I don't remember how long I did jiu-jitsu. It was 6 months, it was 9. I don't remember the time. So it was really funny because I used to do the kickboxing and with the same people, they would stay for the jiu-jitsu after. There was some guys, it was a very small gym. So it was, let's say then the class had like maximum 10, 8 people. And the guys were like, stay for the jiu-jitsu. But I had that pre-concept in my mind. Then like, oh, the jiu-jitsu is just like hugging on the floor, me, girl. You boys, I don't want to do that. No, I had this thing on my head. And then this guy, he was so nice. He became my friend. And he's like, Catherine, do it. I say, I don't want to spend my money buying the robe. Like in Brazil, we call that kimono. And then I say, I don't want to buy the kit. I think here they call it kit. And then he even lent me one. He brought one of his for me, and I used his kit for almost the whole time I practice, actually. I never end up buying one. I always use his one forever. And then I did it. In the beginning, when I started jiu-jitsu, I had that problem, that thing in my head. But actually, it was amazing. And there was no struggling. I was thinking that I was going to get a bit sexual, like, between brackets. Like, because all those, like, locks, la, la, la. But no, the guys don't want to lose for a girl, so they don't take it. Like, so they take it seriously, especially when you're, like, a bit strong. They don't want to lose for you, so they take it seriously. It's nothing sexual. It was nothing like I'm a girl, you were boys, you're going to go on top of me and be, like, a bit awkward. It was not at all. So I really, really enjoyed. But and then this, I came to UK, so I gave up that gym. So I stopped doing it there. Yeah, when I came to study English, I just came and did some workouts in the gym, and that was it. Oh, by the way, the kickboxing that I was doing that time, it was not the kickboxing, the Japanese style. I didn't know that, but I think it was Sanda, was the Chinese kickboxing style, because it was things allowed, like kneel and elbow, and throw the person as well on the floor, which the Japanese kickboxing, we don't. Those things. And then I moved to UK, and then I did a trial class in this place. I had been there for quite a long time. I quit there, that place 2 years ago, but I did like for 7 years in there, and I became a black belt kickboxing. So, and when I achieved my black belt, I stayed there for an extra year. I was going for the first dan on my belt, but and then I went to China, and everything changed. Because I went to Shaolin Temple in China, and I was like, oh my God, I need to do Kung Fu. I need to do Kung Fu. It was beautiful. And I just really wanted to do Kung Fu. So when I arrived from China, I decided to find a Kung Fu place. And then as soon as I arrived, I found this Kung Fu place, which I'm doing it now for 2.5 years, 3 years now, actually. Basically, I think 3 years now. It's going to be in April that I've been doing Kung Fu in this place, Shaolin Temple in Enfield. It's amazing. Like, Shifu, it's so fantastic. Like, he's so knowledgeable. He trained in the Shaolin Temple with the Shaolin monks, and was amazing. Yeah, he's very, very good. So I have been doing it for nearly three years now. And also did a lot of Tai Chi with them, because they do Qigong, actually. It's a style of Tai Chi. And I've been doing it. And also they do this same style of kickboxing I used to do in Brazil, which is the Sanda, that is Chinese kickboxing. And that's why I recognize it now, because the one in Brazil is the same way that is in here. There is no belt grading for the kickboxing, the Sanda. There is no belt grading. It's only like you just go for it and do your punching and kicking and kneeling and elbowing and every other thing that you can do. And you spar. It's really good. It's more scary than the Japanese one. I love the Japanese one, and I will go back to do that once. It's just because, and then I, in between yoga, in between kickboxing, and I was paying two places, and the one in Enfield, I was paying like an amount of money for any class, any amount of class I wanted. And the one in the other place, I was paying exactly the same money for two classes a week. So I decided to quit that one. Money was location wise, because it was further away from my house. It would take me sometimes 2 hours to get back home, you know, depend if I didn't get a lift. If I get like buses, it would take me nearly 2 hours to get back home. So because of those reasons, I quit that one and I stayed on this one that is closer to my house. But one day I will go back there, because I really like the people in there. Really, really nice. Sensei's in there was brilliant, and all my fellow friends, all my colleagues and training with me in there were amazing. So I will go back there for sure. But for now, I will stay just in one place. I started to got like too much in one thing, you know, like too much money everywhere.
Oh, you said about Kung Fu, and you watched Kung Fu Panda, right? Because I think at some point we talked about it. Did you watch Kung Fu Panda, the cartoon?
I did, but I don't remember much. When I went to China, I went to the mountain, which the temple, then the Kung Fu Panda temple is.
Wow.
Is a base. Yeah.
I didn't realize it's based on a real thing. Because my question was if the moves were like Kung Fu Panda, like the actual Kung Fu.
I guess so. I guess. I need to check it again because I watched Kung Fu Panda before doing Kung Fu. But I'm sure they are based on real Kung Fu. Because all the animals that do Kung Fu, they are Kung Fu forms, you know? The tiger, the monkey. Yeah. I don't know if there's a monkey there.
Yeah,
there is no panda. The grasshopper, there is a form that I know that is the grasshopper form, you know? So they are all names of forms. But panda, there is no form that is called panda. So I think that's the thing. And that's why it was funny about that in the movie.
My knowledge in martial arts is limited to this cartoon, this three-part cartoon. But also...
Or maybe Karate Kid.
But the beautiful thing about that is that apart from the storyline and the moves, they were always had wisdom in what they were saying. Is it part of the classes to have a particular way of thinking and that wisdom that you learn as well?
Yes, of course, because the Kung Fu, it's like based on the Buddhist, it's not based, but it's Buddhist monks then practice Kung Fu, especially the Shaolin style, which is that style, which is the style I practice is Shaolin Kung Fu. So it's all based in Buddhism, which it's all about all this wisdom, like think before you act, take a deep breath before you do something, you know, all those knowledge, all those wisdom in the Kung Fu Panda is, it's definitely part of Kung Fu as well, because you need to know yourself, you need to be in peace with you. And that's why the yoga came from as well.
That's where I wanted to get to, because I know that you got into yoga as a kind of merging with the martial arts that you were doing. But before we go there, let me just ask you quickly if you can tell us the general benefits. And so I was reading somewhere about teaching elderly the martial arts and what would be the benefits, because there is no age limit to martial arts. I imagine, especially to Tai Chi, there is absolutely no age limit. And what would be the benefits and what was that project? Because I can't remember exactly the details, but I saw something.
Oh, okay. That's a project that we started. That is like with this group from the Shaolin Temple Cultural Center. Before the lockdown, before the coronavirus, we decided to open this charity that we provide martial arts for either... like who can't pay for it, or now so elderly people. Since the lockdown started, we put it aside for a while. So we decided to start this project. It was approved as a charity, so we need to start working with it. I enter in that more as because it's martial arts and well-being charity. It's basically that. I need to see the name properly. But we are going to provide yoga there as well. So that's where I enter. So it's going to be Tai Chi, yoga, and for elderly people, we're going to try to, and for the people that can't pay for it. But it's a project that's not fully in place yet. We are still working. The benefits of either Tai Chi or yoga for the elderly people is increased mobility, increased concentration, increased breath awareness. So it brings the self-awareness and this movement to the body. So, and with simple moves like that you can do, you don't need to do much, you don't need to go too far, you know, it's just moving our joints, moving our articulation. So that's very important to keep a healthy body, you know, like mobility. For the body brings more mobility, so that's what we wanted to do. We still want to do.
Yeah,
we're going to do it after the lockdown, when the lockdown finishes, because we are even thinking about doing some online classes. But I don't think we decided to step down and just. I think for this reason, it's better to be in person thing that you can check and make sure people are in the correct position, not doing something that is going to, instead of bring benefits, like injury them or don't know, just for the sake of people. People, when they don't have so much contact either with yoga and martial arts to start, especially Tai Chi, not martial arts per se, because we push ourselves harder in martial arts. But on Tai Chi and yoga, we need to have that awareness in our body and give it away, the competition side, put it aside, like the ego, oh, I can do that. And sometimes people can show, or wants to show that they can do that, and they is where they hurt, you know, because the pride comes first before safety. So it's important to be in person, I think.
Exactly. That's a big part that I love, that you always stress on the importance of just listening to your body. You always say nobody's going to win a prize for doing this pose. You just do how it's comfortable for you. I love when you say that. Yeah, you will progress in time, but listen to your body. Maybe today you don't feel like doing the full pose. Just go into your child's pose. Just do that. That I always like that you always say, you know, listen to your body and don't push yourself when you feel that it's too much for you. Tell me about your yoga journey then. When did you start and how did you decide that that's the thing that you want to teach?
Yoga is like, I've been on and off yoga classes on the gym, stuff like that. But I never before like got into yoga as I am now. I decided to start yoga to improve my kicks. So when I was doing kickboxing, to try to get a better range of movements. Then I started doing it slowly. In the gym, when they had availability in the classes, not very firm. So, and then I decided to start trying it at home by myself. No, I was not really into online classes as it is nowadays. So I just researched some things, and with the knowledge that I already had about my body, I started doing like every day when I woke up, about like 10 sun salutations, yeah, mixing with the sun salutation A, sun salutation B, doing some strength poses and things that I could see on the internet, doing it every day, but on my way. Never too serious about it. It was more a way to improve my martial arts because I still have, like, I'm not too flexible. So always trying to improve flexibility, especially on Kung Fu, because Kung Fu also, it's like all the time in like a squats position, you know, it's quite hard. It's really hard actually, like, because this pose calls Mabu, which is like for yoga, it calls like goddess pose with the legs just like 90 degrees. And most of the time you are like that. So I decided to get it like more serious and then start going for proper classes and studio and seeing that that would bring me benefit. So I started going to classes and then just like fell in love with it, like with proper class. Not gym classes are good, but in a proper yoga studio classes, the atmosphere, everything's completely different, you know? Not that competition wise than as you have on gym. And I'm not saying don't do yoga in the gym. Of course, do yoga wherever you can, in your house, in the park, in the gym, anywhere. But for me, it feels really different because I used to go to the gym classes with the same people that I used to do body pump, I used to do yoga, I used to do all the other things. And it's different when you are in an environment that is just for yoga, the lights, the people, everything, no? Yeah. So anyway, I started going more regular and I was like, I always wanted to be a martial arts teacher. I was thinking at that time, because I'm black belt in kickboxing, I could teach kickboxing. No, I can't teach kickboxing actually. But I didn't want to teach something so strong like a martial arts that you need to prove yourself too much, like win competitions. Is that I had in my mind? Maybe it's not what it is, but in my mind, like for you to be a good, between brackets, a good teacher, a good sensei would be if you had won competitions and you can stand up for like in a fight, things like that. Maybe it's not even that, but that's what it was in my head. That's why I left it on the side and I never pursued the career of teaching martial arts. And then I was like doing the yoga. I was like, I think I could do a course, not to teach. I was not thinking about teaching actually. I was thinking about learning more for myself so I could do it more at home. At that point, I think I put some things in front here. And the honest thing is, I didn't think about teaching at that time. So I decided to do a foundations course. And then just to learn more to do it at home. And then I did the foundations course. So I was like, oh my God, because I started learning the philosophy of yoga, which I never heard before. For me, I had like that preconcept in my head about yoga. I don't know, like I didn't want to go so deep. And then I was like, wow, what is this? Like, it's beautiful. It's a way of living. It's not a religion. I always thought myself like I have no religion. But anyway, on the yoga, I started noticing these beautiful teachings, which is philosophy. I don't need to follow anything if I don't want, you know? Yeah. So I just started deepening it. And then I say, oh, I'm going to do the teaching course. But at that point, I still thinking not about teaching or anything. I was doing the course to learn for myself. Because I started like feeling good, feeling my body. Like after doing like 10, 12, I don't know how many years of martial arts, my body started opening. And I thought like, wow, martial arts supposed to open the body, but yoga is like in such a shorter time, it's opening my body so much more and my mind. So I went for the teaching course. So I decided to do a 1 year course because I had no rush. I didn't think about teaching or anything at that point. So I was like 1 year course because I will learn all my time and I'm going to read all the books about it. I got crazy. I have like a big shelf full of yoga books now. But it's a quite long time that I don't read normal books. Like that is not no yoga related. I still need to read that book you gave me. But I started deepening on the philosophy. And then during the course, we need to teach because it's a teaching course. So I started teaching my friends in the class. And I was thinking I was not meant for that, actually. I felt nervous. I didn't feel really good, actually. I was like, I don't know. I had some self-doubts, like my accent, my way of teaching, is it good? I used to freeze. I have very nervous when I speak in public. You know, I was nervous about this podcast because I know people are going to be listening. And I always be very self-conscious about my voice, my accent and stuff. Anyway, so in the middle of the course, we are qualified to start teaching if you wish. So I get insurance and I start teaching in my office. So I spoke to the project manager on my project and I asked if I could start teaching if somebody wanted. So I wanted to practice with myself, with people, because on my course, I was practicing teaching with people then was able to judge me. That was my biggest fear, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, and then I started teaching in my work. And the first time I taught in my work, I was like, I felt so good. I felt so good. And then I was like, oh my God, I want to teach. I really want to teach because I felt like something came off my head, my shoulders. Remember I said that I taught for a little bit. I was a teacher when I graduated literature degree.
Yeah.
For a very short period, I hated so much. I hated. And I thought then when I was going to teach yoga, I was going to feel the same. But actually, it's something like came from inside me. And I just saw the whole class and I was like, everybody was like, wow, Catherine. Some people had never done yoga and everybody felt so comfortable with the class. And I was like, oh my God, I felt so, so good. And I started practicing. I remember before I teach in my office, I taught Tom one class on my husband. I did a class for him in the house and it was not very good, actually. He was quite of worried. He said, oh, you're going to be a teacher. You're not very good at it. He thought, like, he was a bit worried with my teaching skills, like, on that class. I think I was quite nervous. But, and then since then, until the end of, and the beginning of the lockdown, I was teaching once a week in my office. Like, for basically 6 months, I was teaching for one, every Thursday. Like, from 4:30 to 5:30, he gave us half an hour of company time, and we give half an hour of our own time. Mm-hmm. So people enjoyed a lot. So, and then lockdown started and then I was like, oh my God. So, and then I graduated the course and then lockdown started and I was like, and now, and then I saw everybody start talking about the Zoom and never heard about Zoom before. I was like, what is that? That was March last year. And I was like, okay, well, let's take an opportunity here. So I started teaching my parents first. So my parents, some relatives in Zoom in Brazil. And it was like kind of good because I first started with my mom and my aunt only. And I was like, gosh, who would say that I would teach my mom and my aunt like all the way in Brazil? Because I'm trying to get my mom to do yoga for a very long time. I've been telling her to do yoga and she's never done it. So I was able to teach her. I was like, wow. And one day talking to other people that I was teaching in Brazil, I was like, why don't you teach here as well? Teach an English class. And then I start teaching little on Tuesdays and then expands for Thursdays and then teaching in English in Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays. And now I'm teaching also on Sunday mornings, yin class, because after I graduated the 200 hours, I also did a yin teaching training and started teaching yin classes, which is a completely different style. If you want to talk about style, I will leave it for later. And I still teach in Portuguese classes on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and Sunday afternoon. So I teach every single day of the year. And it's so funny that I feel so good. It's like, just like in my heart, I feel grateful. I feel like this gratitude feeling that everybody says is what I feel when I teach. I love it so much. I really, really love it. And it's so nice to see, like, I could reconnect to people like you, other friends from Brazil that I didn't speak, like, for over 10 years, and they are doing my classes on Sunday afternoons. And it's amazing because I've been reconnecting to some people that was dear to me, but for some reason we lost the connection. I didn't lose the connection completely. I have people on Instagram, Facebook, but not, like, friends, not talking anymore for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I got together with all these people. So yoga, since I started doing it, it's just brought me amazing things. And my dad, very, very Catholic person, doing yoga every Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. And in the end of the class, sending his intention and doing like namaste in the end. It's just like so, so amazing, the sensation, you know. I will never guess my dad. My dad is very, he's really, really, I think I got after him this thing to pursue like a movement. Mm-hmm. So my dad runs 15K almost every day. He swims 2K every other day. He goes to the gym every day in the morning. So he runs and swims in the afternoon and he goes to the gym in the morning. Cycles. He's like a triathlete.
I think it's triathlete. I think so. I'm not sure. This is so amazing. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking.
Thank you.
You teach really, so really much. You also do sessions for yourself. So you really do a lot of yoga every day. And I'm always impressed because I did try to do it every day and I just couldn't do it. But it's okay. I'll keep going. And I just wanted to say a few things. One, that you're an amazing teacher. You really are. And I love the way that you teach.
Oh, thank you.
It's amazing. You're really, you explain very well. You really, like, every time, you know, you make sure that we do the positions right. Because as you're saying earlier, because we can't meet because of the pandemic, we can't be in a room with you, for example. Yeah. So it's through internet, but you do make sure to explain every single time how to do it correctly. You always say, remember, if you don't see your toes, you're not in the right position, or, you know, things like that. You always, always explain and you always make sure that we're doing the positions correctly. And although I haven't been to all your classes, and every time I think I want to do it every day, but it doesn't happen. I don't even do it 3 times a week, unfortunately, but it's okay. Since I've been doing yoga with you, even though I'm not doing it every time, I have improved so much. I see changes through myself. And I've been with you in all sorts of places. I was in France at some point doing yoga with you. I was, I don't know where, doing yoga with you. And it's so amazing that I can just be on the little screen and do that. And then a few months later, I feel my muscles so much stronger. And I feel more flexible. I feel more peace of mind because at the end you do that relaxation bit as well with the meditation part. And you also explain how to breathe properly. So it's been very, very helpful physically and mentally for me. So thank you so much. And you are an amazing trainer.
It's so nice.
It fits you so well, honestly.
So nice to hear that. Thank you so much.
Thank you for opening up because, you know, you're saying how nervous you were and how you were worrying about all this stuff. But you are a very good teacher. So that's what I wanted to say, first of all. And talk me through the styles a little bit if you want to. And also because you already mentioned that you started doing the fundamentals of yoga. And I like how you always say that yoga is not just the exercise that we think about it when we think yoga. Yoga is so much more. So talk us through the styles a little bit. And then, you tell me because you you know more. Because you do certain practices every day apart from the exercise, some sort of maybe breathing exercises or... Talk me through what is yoga in general in your life.
Okay, let me just talk very quickly about the styles I teach because it's the ones that I know. Okay, I'm not going to go very far on all the styles of yoga. I teach Vinyasa yoga. That's what I did my course. So Vinyasa is that one that we move with the breath using the sun salutations as the link during the practice. Okay. Also, I teach Ashtanga-based style. The primary series of Ashtanga is the class that we do on Thursdays. And is Vinyasa yoga come from the Ashtanga as well, because it all comes from there. Also, all yoga comes from Hatha. Because you hear, this is Hatha yoga. All yogas are Hatha. Hatha is a type of the yoga philosophy, which means the yoga of force. Hatha yoga. So all asanas based practice are Hatha yoga. And I also teach yin yoga. That is the yoga that we hold the poses for a long, long period, like 3-5 minutes, one pose. They are not the poses we do on the yang practice that we call it, like yin and yang. Yang practice is the vinyasas, ashtangas, any other rocket or styles is the yang, the one that we move a lot. And yin, we do more floor-based asanas that we're going to move the spines in all directions, move the hips sometimes in all directions, and hold the poses. So we're not going to hold a warrior two for 5 minutes. That's wrong. That's going to damage your tissues instead of helping you. We're going to hold poses like pigeon pose or a fold forward, which they call a swan pose. They have different names for not confusing, because we don't want all the engagement of the muscle engagement, because the yin yoga, we are not working on muscles. We work on deeper tissues like tendons, the fascia, that is this tissues that involves our muscles, involve our bodies. Like, I'm not going to go deep on that, otherwise I'm going to stay here forever. So tendons, ligament, fascia, and joints. Which on a yang practice, we work a lot more on the muscles. Of course, breath and other things. So asana is one part. So there are 8 limbs of yoga. So that is part of the yoga philosophy. So we call Ashtanga, not Ashtanga Vinyasa. Ashtanga yoga is the yoga. Then Patanjali, that is the person or entity or a group of people nobody knows who wrote the Yoga Sutras, talk about. So they give us he gives us this Ashtanga yoga, which is the 8 limbs. Ash is 8 and Tanga is limbs. There is the yamas, the niyamas, which the yamas is how you conduct yourself towards the other people, the society. Like speak the truth, no harming, no hoarding, like giving, this kind of things, moderation in life. And the niyamas is how you conduct towards yourself, like self-cleanness, self-study, and pray, they say as well, to the universe, to whatever you believe. You don't need to follow any entity if you don't want. And so there is much more to it, okay, but I'm not going to go deeper in that. And then yamas, niyamas, and then the third limb is asanas. So the asanas come on the third limb of yoga, which we keep our body strong. So it's a part that we go to our body to keep our body strong, so our body can achieve more times on meditation seat, okay? So that's why on the 8 limbs, we do asanas in the beginning, because it's what is going to keep your body strong, make your body, your spine strong, your spine healthy, your body to keep yourself seated for longer periods of time. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth limbs is the pranayama. Pranayama is the breath control. So it's all things that we do in the beginning of the class, like say that three-part yogi breath that you put the hand on the belly, one hand on the chest, or even just to inhale deep, just paying attention on your breath. There is numerous types of pranayamas. There is one that we always do during yoga class, that is the ujjayi breath. Then we is that sound of an oceanic sound or Darth Vader's breath sound that we do during the asanas and keep the heat on the body. But there is pranayamas to cool the body, pranayamas to increase concentration, pranayamas for everything, pranayama to oxygenate the both hemispheres of the brain.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that. So there is many types of pranayama. And then the fifth limb is pratyahara. That is when you start your meditation, because let's say you finish your asana practice, you go for pranayamas before meditations, because also pranayamas, there are some cleansed breaths as well, other cleanse techniques that is on all this pranayama. They are called kriyas, and they are also included on this branch. And then after you finish your pranayama practice, you sit with your pratyahara, which is withdrawal of the senses. You go and be with yourself, start like paying attention on you before meditation, but trying to not connect so much to the sounds that you hear. Maybe close your eyes to try to concentrate and withdraw off all your senses, no? And then pratyahara, and then you go to dharana, that is the sixth limb, dharana, which is concentration. So once you withdraw off the senses, you concentrate to the practice. And then the next one is dhyana, which dhyana means meditation. So it's when we start to meditate, to go within and to noticing your body, all those kind of meditations that you know, maybe mindfulness meditation, whichever meditation you are going through. And the eighth limb is actually the achievement you want, then called samadhi, that is when you achieve the enlightenment. It's like kind of like when your body and mind and your inner self is all connected. So that is the eight limbs of yoga. Maybe I went too deep, or maybe too not deep at all. I don't know how is our time, but
I think this information is very useful. So thank you. Yeah, it's great that you share that.
Yeah. So this is all yoga. So even the day that you are not feeling well, and you say, I'm not going to do any yoga. No, just go and sit on your mat and close your eyes and listen to your body. This is doing yoga. Do you know? People think that yoga is only when you go and you do a strong practice of asana, but it's not. It's also when you sit and listen to yourself. And also during the day, when you decide to say the truth to someone instead of say a lie, or when you start to paying attention to your actions and to your what you say, it's also yoga. You know, it's also part of the yoga philosophy. So when you start to self-study, when you start to listen to yourself and seeing what your body wants instead of pushing it, seeing what it needs instead of hurting it, this is also part of the niyamas. You know, you as swadhyaya. In the niyamas, it is going to help you to understand yourself. So it's many things. Yoga is not only on the mat. It can be doing on the mat and off the mat. It's just not just asanas, because the asanas are part one of the eight limbs. So the eight limbs and asana is one, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's amazing. It's really, really good information that I think many people will be interested to know. So Catherine is going to talk us through a small meditation to finish off this beautiful episode. Thank you so much again for sharing this information. But for our listeners, if you are listening to this episode while driving or doing something similar that requires your concentration, please stop this episode now, because you need to be in a safe place to be able to do this meditation. So I'll just pass this now to Catherine, who is going to take charge and talk us through a beautiful meditation for us to relax.
Okay, thank you, Dania. Let's just do a short, let's not call it meditation, because I was just going to be talking, and we're going to just concentrate and have a little time with the eyes closed. So sit somewhere, then you can keep your spine straight, maybe not placed on the back of the seat. Just bring your spine up, sitting it tall, maybe close your eyes, place your hands on top of your knees, relax your shoulders, noticing your spine straight and nice, as if it's touching something, but without like a place curving the lower back, just keeping it nice and tall. Then start breathing through your nose, inhaling and exhaling through the nose. Start just noticing your breath coming in and out of your nose. Noticing the sensations then start to arise onto your mind, the body sensations that you start noticing into your body. Those sensations then is there all the time, but you don't stop to pay attention. So pay attention now. Noticing maybe the sensations of the soft touch of your clothes against your skin, or the temperature of the air against your skin. Noticing the movements of your breath, the movements that are there also, that you don't notice normally. Maybe your belly going up and down. Maybe your chest moving up and down. Maybe your back moving. Maybe your nostrils open and closing as you breathe in and out. Maybe noticing your lungs filling with air on every inhale. And exhale deeply. Noticing your lungs releasing and emptying out. Just focusing on any of those parts that is easier for you to focus. Maybe focusing on your third eye point. Just stay there with your breath for a few moments. Just noticing your own natural breath coming in and out of your nose. And if any thoughts start arising onto your mind, just put them aside just for now. You go back to the breath and those sensations. Just stay with you, with the moment. Remember then the breath is the present moment. All the thoughts that come to your mind right now is going to be about past or future. Let them on the side and stay in the moment for now. And let's just do a short exercise, a breathing exercise. Keeping your eyes closed, place one hand onto your belly, one hand onto your chest. It doesn't matter which one goes where. And then on the next inhale, you're going to send the air first onto your belly and then to your ribcage area and then to your chest area. So it's the three-part inhale. And on the exhale, you're going to send the air, remove the air first from the chest and then the ribcage and then the belly. So inhale belly first, rib cage and chest. And exhale first chest and then rib cage and then the air from the belly comes up. Noticing your hand coming up on the belly first, on the inhale, then rib cage, then the hand on the chest come up. And exhale, the hand on the chest goes in and then the cage closes and the hand on the belly goes down towards your spine. Noticing the air coming through the front of the body, first belly and rib cage, and then the chest. And exhaling through the back of the body, chest, rib cage. Let's just do it one more time. Inhale belly, rib cage, and chest. And exhale chest, cage, and belly. Release your hands onto your legs once again. And stay with your own breath for a few more breaths. Just noticing whichever thing comes onto your mind. Don't engage. Stay with your breath. Putting your thoughts aside. Trying to calm down the movements of your mind. And slowly open your eyes. And shake your shoulders, relax, maybe move your head side to side, start awakening your body. Maybe give yourself a nice big stretch, send your arms over your head and stretching quite nice. And then relax. I hope that was okay.
Wow, this is just the proof that such a small amount of time of doing this, it's already so relaxing. Imagine if you do more of that every day. It's amazing. It's super relaxing.
Yeah.
Wow.
We forget about to just stop and pay attention to our breath and just stay with ourselves. We don't need, we are always busy doing more than one thing at a time. Just take a moment and have some mindful time. Like even when you are taking your cup of tea, instead of taking your cup of tea, watching TV, reading your phone, just have a cup of tea per se. Notice the tea coming, entering into your body, warming your body, noticing the taste. Not just the tea, you can do it with coffee, with anything, with a food. Even with a program that you're watching on TV, let's say, instead of fidgeting and looking at your phone. You know, we do many things at the same time. And our mind is always, always really, really busy. And I'm guilty also because I am like that as well. It's not just I don't do that, you know. I do all this. But sometimes it's good to stop for a moment and just pay attention to what you are doing now. Even if it's 1 minute of your day, you're going to stay on the present moment. So that's good.
Thank you so much for all of this. At the moment, I'm in a state of mind that I feel hypnotized. I'm just like, keep talking, Catherine. I just like listening.
When you are feeling a bit euphoric or anxiety, to stop and pay attention in 5 breaths, you're going to see how different you feel after that.
Yeah.
Now close your eyes. That's it. I hope you enjoy. Oh, I hope everybody enjoyed that. I'm sorry if I said anything wrong, then anybody disagree. I'm so sorry. I hope you guys enjoy.
Please don't worry about it. I think the most important thing is the information that you give and all the positive things that you talked about and all the good values and practices that you do. So what you're sending, the information and your energy, is so much more important. So don't worry about anything else. Plus, we're on this the same side. I mean, it's funny how Mark laughs about all sorts of mistakes that I make every day. And in fact, he actually says quite often that my English is getting worse and worse. This is so funny. I have no idea how this happens because I'm with him all the time. I speak English all the time and somehow it just gets worse. But you know what I also say? Like sometimes I turn the words around, the order of words. Like, for example, I sometimes say chips and fish. Or I don't know, examples like that I just don't remember the right order. I'm like, it's the same thing. And he just laughs at me. I'm like, but it's the same thing.
You know one that I always say, then he always corrects me, because in Portuguese, knife and fork is not knife and fork. It's fork and knife.
Oh my God, I do the same mistake. I do exactly the same.
Another thing that I always make a mistake is I always, because in Portuguese, H has sound of H.
Yeah.
That is like mute most of the time. Mm-hmm. And the R has the sound of H in here. Uh-huh. So like my surname starts with R. Mm-hmm. So in Portuguese, it's Rocha. And
is
here
it?
It's Roche.
I did not know it.
So when I'm seeing, sometimes I'm going to read something with H and I never know. I get so confused. I do the same sound as the R in here instead of the R in Brazil for the H, you know. He starts laughing that I say something like, then it's H with like the sound of an R, you know.
Yeah. That's so cool. I did not know that you read it differently.
Yeah, because that word like of the R in here, we say that in the middle of a sentence. When the R is in the middle of the sentence, is that sound. But when the R is the beginning, it's like the H sound. So it's really confusing for me. It's really confusing.
Yeah. Oh, I totally understand you. I mean, the amount of corrections I have from Mark every day. It's just like, for me, it's just like, whatever. I always tell him, like, somebody invented this language anyway, so I might as well invent a new language with my own words.
Sometimes he makes my mistakes and he say, I'm speaking Catherine English now. Instead of me improving my English, he is getting his English worse.
I love that. I love that. Let's just have our own version of English. Why not? It's more original.
I agree. Let's use our way, the Latin way.
When Mark asked me who I'm doing a podcast with today, I told him it's Catherine, and he said, oh, tell her bom dia. I don't know how to pronounce it correctly. But he said, tell her bom dia.
Correct. Oh, tell him bom dia. Now, boa noite. This is nice.
Boa noite. Yeah?
Boa noite. Boa noite is more the way that we say in Brazil. Boa noite is more like Portuguese. Mm-hmm. It's with T and E in the end. But in Brazil, when it's T and an E in the end, we always say, Boa noite. Yeah, perfect.
In Moldova and Romania, we say noapte bună.
Oh, yeah, noapte bună. Oh! I've learned that.
You say it so well.
Oh, yeah, I use buona dimineața, these kind of things I say all the time.
At work.
Or like profta buona.
Oh, my God, that's so cute.
Yeah, because I used to work in my two projects ago, and there were this Turkish company, and they had lots of Romanian people working there, yeah. Antiapi, and then, yeah, so the girls were always teaching me, and I even know some bad words, but I forgot, actually, I forgot most of the things. I used to talk to them, say many things in Romania all the time.
That is so cute. Yeah,
să-ți fie de bine.
Oh my God, well done.
Or sani fie de bine, ne? Să-ți fie de bine or sani fie de bine, something like that, isn't it?
Da. Să-ți fie de bine, it's like, I don't even know how to translate it in English. It's after you finish.
You don't have eating. That in English. No. Oh, yeah, the girls told me that.
Yeah.
It's like, enjoy your meal, but together, isn't it? Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, if you say sani fie de bine, it means for all of us, but să-ți fie, it's for you. This is so cool. I love it that you know all these words.
Yeah. I help you. Little. It's very similar to Latin. No, I did Latin a little bit. Not so much that I could recognize many words. I forgot them all, actually.
Well, in a way, if you speak, like, for example, I speak Romanian and French, and they're both Latin languages. They have the roots in Latin language. And yeah, if you can't, if you speak Romanian, it doesn't mean you speak French. But you can kind of understand a little bit of Italian, a little bit of Spanish, a little bit of French, just a tiny bit. But because, you're right, although they come all from Latin, you can't always recognize all the words because obviously they change so much, but the root is there.
Yeah, like me, speaking Portuguese, I can understand a lot of Spanish and Italian because they are more similar, but French is harder to understand. Yeah. If I read, I probably going to understand more than if I listen, because when you listen the French and then it's completely different. This Romanian for me is the most different of all those Latin languages, because I don't know if it's because we don't have any connection with it in Brazil, you know?
Yeah.
I only learned Romanian was a Latin language once I been to this country here. We don't even think in Brazil that Romanian is a Latin language. It's a funny thing because of Romanian, you know? Of course it's Latin. Calls yeah. Romania.
Yeah.
Look at the name. Yeah. The closest to Rome as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. No, but you're right. Especially don't hear that much of countries like Romania and Moldova abroad. Not a lot of people hear a lot about.
And I didn't know Moldova is with Romania as well.
It's something normal. There is no way for you to know because it's a really unknown little young country.
Yeah, so. I'm looking forward to try Moldovan wines. I've heard that is amazing. I watched that program one day. You put on Instagram something about that program, and I watched that program a long time ago.
Oh,
about those guys, and they go to Romania, to Moldova.
Yes.
To try the wine for that bodega that was made, like to provide wines to Russia, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's really, really good wine.
I want to try.
I can't believe I'm a bad friend. I can't believe. I didn't give you some Moldovan wine. I can't believe that. We need to correct. I'm gonna sort this out when I see you next time. Whenever that will be.
I didn't even think about you giving. I want to have it when I go to Moldova.
Yes, you need to come.
Wine is always welcome. No, but you don't need to give it to me. Don't worry about that. Nope. Anyway, yeah, no, I watched that program and I thought it was quite interesting. But you know, in Brazil we have good wines also, which is not common here at all. They used to have to sell one wine from Brazil in Marks and Spencer's, and it was amazing, but they just stopped selling it. I think I was the only one that used to buy it, maybe. Because I used to buy it when I used to go for dinner in people's house, you know, and I take the Brazilian wine because it was actually really good.
It's the same problem with Moldova. You can't find Moldovan wine too often because there are certain countries that they earned their name as best wine producers, although it's not true anymore because countries like Brazil and Moldova and other countries, they are at a high level of doing very good quality wine now. But a lot of people, they just go for Italian, French wine. These are the ones that they are safe because they don't know much about other wines. So you need someone to actually tell them, look, try this wine, because they would always go with the safe version. What they've heard about
already. Yeah. Now, Uruguayan wines are amazing. Argentinian, yes. Argentina, everybody knows. Chilean as well. But Uruguayan and Brazilian wine is not famous and they are fantastic. Actually, there is one Uruguayan that they sell at Marks and Spencer's. I always buy it because it's really, really nice. Wow. The grape called Stanat is really good and it's cheap. Even in Uruguay, it's really cheap. It's very, very tasty, very nice. The Brazilian one, it's so funny because it's getting really on wine production in Brazil. And I think it was last year or 2 years ago, I don't remember, is this place that won best champagne. Ooh. Like best champagne style. Not champagne,
yeah,
but it competed
it like
with champagne. Yeah. And it was, wow. Yeah, and it won like in that category, the best.
Wow.
And
really good.
Yeah, and it's from Brazil. The south of Brazil is the Pampas, which is like the same as in Argentina. You know, has the same climate. So it's mountains and it's really good. And it's cold, it's not really hot. So it has very good climate for wine. But now they are producing wine many places in Brazil and they are actually good. Because nowadays with all the climatization of the places and everything, you don't need to have that same environment as in the past to get the best grapes and stuff. No, nowadays you can grow wine anywhere.
Yeah. Anyway. That's true. You like more red than white, right? Red wine?
I like red wine.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. I'm not very. I drink white if it's my only option, or if I'm eating fish. But normally I go for red. If I'm eating fish, I rather have a lighter red than have like white wine. You know.
I'm exactly the same.
Like if you do Beaujolais wine that is really light, or even a very light Pinot Noir. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have some light, very light Pinot Noir. So I rather have those.
I am exactly the same. And sometimes I actually get a headache from the white one. Catherine, so tell me, if someone wants to do yoga, what do they need to start with? Do they need some sort of accessories or what do they need before they start yoga?
So if you want to start yoga, I would suggest, but just for the reason of you having your space, a mat, any mat. It doesn't need to be a fancy mat. You don't actually even need a mat. But it's good for gripping and this kind of things. Maybe blocks if you wish, but you can improvise and using other stuff if you want. And if you are a completely beginner, you can use books or even anything. Then you can have an extra space like toilet paper. Roll, anything like that.
Yeah, I use that.
I know. That's really good because you can use it and it's fantastic.
You gave me the idea.
You don't need to buy you don't need to buy any fancy stuff for yoga. Also, very important thing is if you want to practice yoga, don't worry about your shape at the moment, your mobility, if you're flexible. Many people say to me one thing, then they say to me, Catherine, I want to practice yoga, but I'm not flexible. So you say you're not flexible to practice yoga. No, that's like a It's an antagonism. You don't need to be flexible to practice yoga. Yoga brings you flexibility. You don't need to have a fit body to practice yoga. Yoga can bring you a fit body if it's what you wish. It's not the goal. Remember that the goal is to be healthy and to be happy with yourself and to understand your body. And that's the goal. The goal is to be happy in your own skin. So it doesn't matter if you are flexible, if you are overweight or underweight, or if you have a fancy mat, fancy yoga pants, or even the space is not that important. As Danielle proved, she used to do my classes inside the motorhome. So if you have a space that you can move, then you can fit a yoga mat, even if you don't have a yoga mat. But in that space, you can practice it. So you don't need anything that is fancy or having a lot of stuff, or you can always improvise. You can always use other substitutes for any part of your practice. It's just if you have a body and you have wish to start to practice, you can go and start. That's it.
I need to give you credit for the motorhome bit, because I used to do, so generally speaking, I was doing exercises outside the motorhome. And sometimes I would do exercises inside the motorhome, but I was a bit worried with yoga practice because I was thinking, will I have the balance to do all the poses? So I was a little bit worried and I was telling you, oh, I don't know if I should do it. And you just said, just try it. I'm sure you'll be able to do it. So you gave me that trust and like that belief in the fact that I can do it. And then I tried it and I couldn't believe it that I could do it. I could do the whole practice in the motorhome. I was so surprised. I loved it.
So good.
But it's
so true. Good to see your video.
But it's so true, because a lot of people, you know, before, for example, they would maybe use an excuse. They didn't have to go to the gym. Now the gyms are closed in many countries. People can't go to the gym. But that doesn't mean, like, as you say, if you have the wish and desire, you can do it. You don't have to have space. You don't have to have expensive gear. You just need to have the desire and just do it.
Yeah, it's just if you want to start and any time of the day, any break, I do yoga all my lunch times. I do yoga when I get up. I do yoga before bed. Depends of what I'm feeling and what my body's in need. And once you get your practice going, you can practice anytime, anywhere. The great thing of yoga is you don't need to have a yoga space. You have something. Maybe you have a mat just to delimitate the market. To have your space, you know, is that space you're going to need. Because it's not even necessary to have a mat. Unless you want a mat for like cushioning your knees or to help with grip in your hands. For the rest, you can use anything that is in hand.
That's amazing. And also an important thing that you told me, this is, I'm sure I'll push myself again. Not push, but I'll find the right time to start that challenge again, to do yoga every day. But I remember when I asked you, can I do it every day? What did you tell me, Catherine? Can I do it every day? Can you do yoga every day?
Yes, of course.
Because you're saying you work with your own body weight. You don't work with extra weight.
Yes. So it's like when you go to the gym and you get heavy weights, you need to give a time for your muscles to actually regenerate, to reset, because you are breaking the fibers of your muscles and then it needs to put together back. But you are working with your own body weight, and also listen to your body. So if your arms are aching, why are you going to do poses and demands more on your arms? So listen to your body and do the poses that is better for you at that day. Do like one day a fierce practice. Next day you do a little bit more slow practice. You know, it's up to you. I do yoga every day, sometimes twice, three times a day. So it's depend what you want and what you need. So yes, you can do anytime.
You live and breathe yoga. You're so inspirational.
Yeah. Thank you.
I love it. I love it so much. You can see you put a lot of passion and love into it. And yeah.
I fell in love with it. I just absolutely fell in love with it. And it became part of me now. It's like, I'm not been teaching for a very long time. I've been teaching for a relatively short period now. But I just found myself in it and I love it so much. And I like sharing it. It's not like about getting paid or anything like that. It's about like passing my passion to someone. And it's a very beautiful sentence that I put on Instagram the other day. It's on my Instagram, but I reshared it on my stories the other day. I don't know if you saw. I don't know it exactly correct way than it says. And it's a sentence from Buddha, and he says, the light of a candle does not get smaller when you lit other candles from that light.
Aww.
You know?
Yeah.
The same with happiness, the same with something that you are passionate about. It's not going to get any smaller for you sharing. Happiness does not get smaller when you share. So if you are truly happy, if you really love something and you share with someone, it's just going to grow because you are passing whatever you have truly passion to. So it's not going to get any smaller. It's not going to divide. It's going to multiply.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Really nicely said. And I can't wait one day in the future to do, a class physically close to you.
Oh, yes. I can't wait to teach you guys in person. To adjust to is one thing that I miss so much in the lockdown is the adjustments in class. Even on me, when I go on class and teachers put me on place, and when you adjust someone in class, because the adjustment different than people think. It's not too correct. Sometimes the adjustments are to push you further, you know, are to help you to improve. So it's not just, sometimes people don't like teacher to touch because they think they're going to correct. But it's not only about correction. It's going further, opening up more your body, going further in the pose. So adjustments are amazing. When I go to classes, I am just like, me, adjust me. You don't want to be adjuster. You say, I want to be. Come as many times as you want. Like that crazy student then sit on the front row, you know. adjust me.
But that's another important thing that you just said, because it's not just about you teaching other people, but it's also for you continuing learning from other people. So I love that you are continually, because I see you even on your Instagram, you always post that you're doing a certain class with someone else, that, you know, you're following what they're doing and you're always trying to learn more and more and more. That's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. Yoga is always a learn, like it's a continuous learning, because even when you think you achieve a pose, there is a way to go further. Every pose on yoga, doesn't matter how well you do it now, you can go further. You can do something further in the pose. So that's why I really love yoga. And that's why yoga came to me, like, because I'm going back to my martial arts, I like that thing about grading, you know, because it's always giving you an extra push. Oh, you need to work for the next grade. And it's exactly the same on yoga without the grading, but is you are working towards something. Like, I'm working now towards the splits. I just did managed to do headstand because I had this fear. It was really hard for me to go upside down anyway. Ever, even on the pool, I never did like a pirouette like inside the pool in the water because I'm scared when I am completely upside down. Mm-hmm. And I decided to fight this phobia that I had. And in December, I challenged myself and I did a headstand every day. And now I got a strong headstand practice. But is it the end of it? No, it's not. There's a lot more. I need to open my legs when I'm up there. I need to cross my legs. I want to do other things. So it's like going further and further all the time. It's not just go in one pose and that's the end. And then there is nothing else to go. So it's always working towards something else. So it's amazing. And it's a constant learning. And learning about, like, I love doing other people's class to see what I can improve my class as well. So it's always a constant learn. So sometimes I do one class and say, oh, I can say that as well. You know?
Yeah.
It's not stealing anything. It's just like
learning from
collating more material and like saying like something that you can improve yourself. So yes, always learning, always. I'm forever a student in this matter of yoga, and I'm sure that if you talk to me in 10 years, I will be the same. I will still be learning. It's more to read, it's more to learn, it's more to go further, it's more to do. Yeah.
Oh, thank you for your time and for
everything.
Thank you.
Thank you. I feel very honored to be here.